This is Derivative.
If you want to skip the rest of this, you do that with my blessing.
I tend to say the same thing.
It's not the same.
Maniacal fans, and they write jingles.
I don't see the point in writing your own show when you can pinch somebody else.
I hope it's smart and funny.
It's the dumbest show.
So, I mean, what's the interest of
naked old men eating dinner?
It is bad, and it is done with total confidence.
Not original, uninspired.
Yeah, I'm derivative as hell.
Hey everybody, it's Jerry. Welcome back to Derivative. This is a podcast about a guy who takes other people's music and tries to make it funny. I am certainly not the first person who's done that. Definitely not the best person who's done that. But I'm a guy who does it. And today you're going to hear from some others who do that, because that's what this podcast is. We've got some great songs lined up for you today. But first, I wanted to give an update on the Jingle Fest and all that logistic stuff. I've been slow to record this episode this week because I've had so many little nuisance things to take care of, like building spreadsheets and importing emails and sizes and all this stuff and getting ready for the shirt orders, as well as researching venues and figuring out the appropriate size for that. So if you haven't given me your feedback, if you're on the Kickstarter or the Patreon, please send me the shirt that you want. And if you're planning to come, please let me know so that I can make sure I add that to my headcount. Next year, June 27, 2020, in Nashville, Jingle Trek will be a ticketed event. So if you plan to come, you have to have a ticket to get in. If you're on those things I mentioned before, you may have one already reserved. But that way, we're going to actually have a very accurate headcount. We'll be able to pay for the venue without me having to do some other shenanigans. So I'm very excited about that. It's coming together nicely. Go to littlesongs.net/store if you'd like to reserve some of those things. You'll also see that there's some new derivative swag on there. I'm very curious to see if anyone besides like myself, maybe my children, are interested in this stuff. But there is a derivative logo shirt as well as a flaming pie shirt, which I love. So if you pay for one of those, if you get one of those, it helps pay for this. A lot of the karaoke tracks I do on here, I spend about $3 to $4 per track because I usually get the instrumental and the vocal to make sure that I get everything just right with all the harmonies and stuff. And then next week, I think, if everything works out, we're going to have a very special episode. And that required me to recruit some other voice talent and some different freelance guys. And so that costs a lot of money. So little things like that, if you support the Derivative podcast, if you're enjoying this, consider buying one of those things or, you know, back one of these things. I'm not going to belabor the point. But it's all up there. I think it's pretty cool. It's worth taking a look at. I know if you've supported me for a while, you probably have like 10 shirts related to this effort. So maybe that's not the best item. But nonetheless, you may, you know, maybe some of those are getting worn out and you want to swap them out for something exciting and new. And you can check that out. So this week, I mentioned we got some fun new music. But before I get to that, I wanted to remind you to leave a review for Derivative on the iTunes. At this time, we have not received enough ratings to display an average for this podcast. It is a pathetic ratings and review page here for Derivative. There is one review. It's called Light My Fire, a 5-star review from KHorn6. It says, as you described the discussion for the leftover chatter shirts, I was thinking to myself, they should burn them. A second later, we came up with Into the Fire, looking forward to more episodes of Derivative. I'm going to click yes. This review was very helpful. And I hope you, listening right now, can hop on over to iTunes at some point and leave your own review. I will send you a free sticker if you email me, ChineseFood@TKJingles.com. And just to thank you for doing that. Those reviews, the subscription stuff, that all helps the rating on iTunes and helps other people find it who may click on Tangents or some other show and say, oh, here's a related show other people like. And the more of those types of feedback and things that we have, the more likely it is to show higher in the listings. Now, let's get to the music. So there was a theme this week on Tony's show in his new studio. There is a persistent tapping sound during a lot of the segments. And it sounds like somebody's knocking on a piece of wood. Maybe somebody's tapping the table. Maybe they're knocking their knee. Whatever it is, it's driving people nuts. The cesspool is lighting up with it. Twitter is lighting up with it. I assume the Facebook has this stuff too. But folks are very concerned about that little tapping that's going on there. You'll notice this show is far more professional. You never get anything like that. But something about that new studio there is causing problems. So we've got a couple of new songs here, and then I'll add one of my own to the pile. So Brad Weiss contributes Knock on Wood, Joe Arrow with Knock, 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 and then myself with The Impression That I Get.
I don't understand this new sound in that studio.
offensive, frightening. Maybe you'll think of retiring the way you pound the table. Tony!
Hey, Tone, what you banging on there? Thumping so loud every day as I listen to your show. While you're talking, it just keeps on going. I like it better with the leaf blowers blowing. The sounds emanating from your room is grating on my nerves. All we hear is knock, knock, knock when Sir Liz is talking over you. Well, you know, that's not so bad. All the littles would tell you. But when he's not there, really drives me up the wall, Tone. Oh, maybe you need a new studio.
Have you heard Tony in his new studio? Or know somebody else who has? There's a really faint, annoying tapping sound, and I think it's gonna drive me mad.
It's the old man, which makes me think he's here for good.
And I'm pretty sure he'll never stop knocking that wood. Nigel hasn't told him yet, cause he wants to keep his livelihood.
It's the impression that I get.
As the guy who runs the website for all these jingles, folks assume I've got an inside track on getting these things on the air. Unfortunately, I don't, and I get a lot of notes from folks saying, hey, I've submitted three or four of these things, and they're just not getting through. Do you have any advice? And other than being funny, being less than 60 seconds long, I don't, unfortunately. It's frustrating for me. I actually looked back. I think that in 2018, I maybe had four jingles on the show in the entire calendar year, and 2019 is kind of the same deal. While there was certainly a time when they were playing more of these songs and they didn't have restrictions and didn't have to go through their legal review process, I'd get a lot more on there. But I'm rarely on there, so I'm surprised folks even still remember who I am. But I thought that I would play a couple of jingles now that I submitted multiple times. The only thing that I have done to try to get on there is to hassle Nigel, like, hey, you probably saw this, but maybe try again. And one of those songs was Living with Sciatica. I sent it in three or four times, and it finally got through. And I don't think it had anything to do with me resubmitting it. That was just me being impatient. The lawyer, the one that reviews all these jingles, just was on vacation or had a backlog, or for whatever reason, he looked at a huge queue of them all at once. And so now we're finally starting to get some, the dam is breaking and some of those backlog jingles are getting through. So I'm going to play three jingles here that I've submitted to Nigel more than once. And so the first one is Pizza Dancer. This one is, all three of these, none of these have made the show. So Pizza Dancer was a jingle inspired by Scott Anthony. He'd written a jingle with that same title, and immediately it popped into my head of somebody dancing around with a giant chatter arrow, and I just thought that was the funniest damn thing ever. I love this song because of the lyrics. I love it because it tells a story. It's preposterous. This idea that a failing business could be saved by someone dancing with an arrow in the street corner is just so magnificent. So I'm going to share that one. Then a song called I Love You, Larry David. And this is like a Disney parody or something. I Want to Be Like You from, what's that? The Jungle Book. And this is about the time that Tony met Larry David, thinking that, hey, we could be best friends because Jason Alexander played both of us on TV. We're both bald guys, both from New York, blah, blah, blah. Went to the same camp even, but it didn't work out. But anyway, I love this because it tells a little story, kind of sets that up, and then just withers out. And then the last one is song called Travelin' Pets. This is the Neil Sedaka Calendar Girl parody. And I like this just because it was so silly and there were lots of jokes in there. I thought this one would be really up Nigel's alley more than anything else because of all the weird things that happen in Florida and on airplanes and stuff with all these emotional support animals. And on a related note, I don't know if you saw this, somebody, I shared this on Twitter, went to a job, a meeting at their job with an emotional support clown. And this was some kind of stunt because they knew they were going to get fired. But the idea that, I mean, the emotional support animals have gone so far off the deep end. They're just so preposterous now, what you can claim is an emotional support animal. The idea that someone could show up with a person and claim that it's their emotional support clown, I don't see why that's invalid, honestly. I mean, it makes me laugh so much that somebody would do that. But if you can claim that a yak is an emotional support animal, why can't a clown be? Honestly, it seems like the same thing. So here's three jingles of mine that, for whatever reason, never made the show. I think they're pretty good, though. Hope you enjoy them.
We bought Chatter. What a disaster. Sinking deeper in quicksand. Remove some tables back in April. We thought the dinner crowd might prefer to stand. Our breakfast schedule is confidential. That's all part of our business plan. We'll solve this crisis by raising prices. Try the sausage sandwich, it's only 14 grand.
All right, who's next in line for a photo? You? All right, did you buy a sandwich? Yes, you did? Okay, fine, let's do this.
And right now I feel so dumb, bleeding out a hefty sum. There's only one man who can save me. Spinning, dancing like crazy. Spin your arrow, pizza dancer. Get the tourists looking out. Earn $5 of hazard pay. Spin your arrow, pizza dancer. In the hot sun, 12 hours a day. Throwing coupons for the fish platter. Helping all the little save.
You went to Camp Kiyuma 1 year after me, and Jason Alexander played both of us on TV. I don't watch your show, Larry, though I have tried to. 'Cause every bad choice you make, I think, hey, that's what I do. So whoop-de-doo, I'm just like you. I whine like you, I'm bald like you too. Why don't you wanna talk to me? We can learn to be best friends too.
I got so many traveling pets. Yeah, my traveling pets. I got so many traveling pets. Fauna everywhere that I go. A peacock.
Pretty feathers take up so much space.
A monkey.
Get too close, he's gonna eat your face.
A tiger.
On the city bus, he's on my lap.
A mastiff.
When we're on a flight, he takes a... Yeah, yeah, I'm kind of a mess. But I get so much comfort from my traveling pets everywhere.
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 Everywhere
that I go.
Everywhere that I go. A grizzly
in the carpool lane, I let him drive.
piranha.
Take him with me when I scuba dive.
Alligator
runs the daycare for the local tots.
A cobra.
The anti-venom's gonna cost you a lot. Yeah, yeah, I'm kind of a mess, but I get so much comfort from my traveling pets everywhere.
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 Everywhere
that I go.
One of my favorite things about little songs, TK jingles, all this stuff, is when we have a new voice join the conversation. And that can either be through performance or writing. Oftentimes, some of the best jingles are written by one person or performed by another. So here's a good example of that. Jen Babish submitted a jingle now, set to Julian Lennon's Too Late for Goodbyes, about Tony's quest to lease a new car. And I think this is just freaking hilarious. So I wanted to share it here. This is a pretty long one. We're going to play it in its entirety, and just so exciting that we have a brand new contributor here. I hope this makes the show. It's a little bit long, so hopefully there's some edited version or some way they can chop it down to get it on that show. But if nothing else, you can hear it here. Send Jen your feedback. Go to the website, actually. Leave a comment on this one so she knows you listened to it and enjoyed it.
Ever since I turned 70, I haven't felt very spry. Press my caddy in a garage, and I wanted to cry, but I'm much too old to lease a car. Yes, I'm much too old to lease a car. Thought I'd rub it with water and waited for it to dry. No, it didn't take out the scratch, so it went bye-bye. But I'm much too old to lease a car. Yes, I'm too damn old to lease a car. Ask me how much my mortgage was, I couldn't tell them a lie. I couldn't get the form to complete. I didn't understand why. Yeah, I'm much too old to lease a car. Yes, I'm much too old to lease a car. I can just pay them in straight cash, thanks to PTI. It's ill-advised to lease vehicles, still I chose to comply. I'm much too old to lease a car. Yes, I'm way too old to lease a car.
Derivative, remixing other people's ideas for profit and fame.
I had a problem with copyrights, but it wasn't from the songs I mock. Those are fine. Two initials that what's your name? Hey, another TK, you're blowing away my poor mind. Hey, who cares what you say? Cover sports by the bay, you'll do fine. Say you'll be my new TK if you don't mind.
As you probably know, a while ago I was asked to stop using the initials TK in these parody songs, and I realize now that I've made a huge mistake, because TK is everywhere. So I always thought it was kind of silly that this was an issue between us, but I really now find a lot of humor in seeing it everywhere. Tim Kawakami, who I follow religiously now on Twitter, also now tweets stuff about his golf, so I can unironically retweet things about, man, so much golf talk coming out of TK, and it can still be true. And I could still be annoyed by it, but it's a different TK. There's even another sports writer, TK, who just talks about his own personal golf games. I also realized last week when I was doing that Ball and Toby Keith, probably the crowning achievement of my jingle career, that Toby Keith is also a TK. And the only reason I even picked up on that was that when I was researching who's Toby Keith, because I want to use him because he rhymes with Jordan Spieth, I found this story about how Natalie Maines from Dixie Chicks was protesting something that he did, or they were fighting about something. And so she made a t-shirt just for an award show that said F-U-T-K, which I got to have that shirt. Like, that's an awesome shirt. I should wear that to Jingle Fest. That's amazing that she'd wear that. And then she said, oh no, it stands for something else, like Friends Under, you know, True Knowledge, or some nonsense that it obviously didn't stand for. But Toby Keith, yet another TK. Also, Tim Kirkjian. I've written jingles about Tim Kirkjian. Why didn't I just say, oh, yeah, I'll pivot this to be a Tim Kirkjian jingle website, but we'll also just feature songs about Tim's friend Tony. You know, it'll be 98% of the catalog, but we'll feature him too, just on here, but we'll just change it to Tim Kirkjian jingles. Ah, so silly, so silly.
As dinner time comes, on a cold and gray MLB morning, Tim Kirkjian desperately looks for avocado.
Avocado.
And his wife cries, 'cause if there's one thing that she don't need, it's a hungry Kirkjian in desperate need of avocado.
Avocado.
Littles, don't you understand that Kirkjian needs a helping hand, or he's gonna be a sad analyst today. Or take a look at you and me, are we too blind to see? Or do we simply shake our heads and offer him some greens? Well, it's dinner time, and a hungry Kirkjian with a hankering is out in the street in desperate need of avocado.
I've talked about Oasis before, one of my favorite bands, and how they're a fairly derivative group, especially in the way that they write songs. Noel Gallagher has described before that what he'll often do is put on a record, open a bottle of booze, get out a guitar, and then learn the chords to that song he's listening to, move them around a little bit, and then voila, you got a hit song. Now, I think sometimes that probably works, and it's not that noticeable. Maybe you take inspiration from something. And then other times, it's just clearly a blatant ripoff. And if you look on YouTube, you can find like 50 times where they've done this or something. And some of them are a stretch. I mean, there's one on there where they say, oh, yeah, they lifted the guitar chord, I think in Supersonic, from George Harrison's My Sweet Lord. Well, My Sweet Lord, I know, was like a complete ripoff song of, what was it, My Guy or something? I mean, just, you know, that song was plagiarized. So the irony of that call it anyway. So anyway, my point is that sometimes you can get away with that and it takes inspiration. It's not totally derivative. But then there are other times when it is clearly the exact same song. And I wanted to play this because I think this is the most brazen and ridiculous example of it. And I can't believe this is even like a hit single, in the UK at least, that this was ever even released. It's just so... I mean, it's the same song. How could you have the guts to do this? But here it is. I'm going to play the Oasis song, then I'm going to play the original song, and then a brief clip of an interview that I found where some of the band members talk about this. And it's just so humorous to me. It's just so funny.
I'd like to teach the world to sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I'd like to hold it in my heart and keep it.
Remember Noel first playing it? It's like, you can't do that. It's like, yeah, I can. You know, and we all got in the room and played it. It's like, taking the piss, isn't it?
There was no thought of getting a record deal. You know, it was just songs to play when we were doing the boardwalk on a Tuesday night. Which is probably why it sounds so free and easy, do you know what I mean? It just flows, you know, all the chords just flow out of each other.
So my point in playing that was not to regale you with examples of rock bands stealing Coke commercials, but rather just to give an example of like really blatant plagiarism versus maybe something that is just remixing or repurposing something else. So Noel Gallagher, when he wrote Wonderwall, wrote a follow-up song called Do You Know What I Mean? And it was pointed out that, hey, Noel, this uses the exact same chords. And he made a comment about it that, oh, yeah, well, I wrote it, and I figure I can get at least six songs out of those chords, so I'll probably do it again. So, you know, just totally unashamedly just repurposing his own music to get another hit. And it was a big hit, at least in the UK. So John Welsh and Joe Arrow did a great TK jingle of it. I'm going to play that here. And then I did a little Do You Know What I Mean parody during an old acoustic podcast a little while ago. So I'm going to play these two songs now and note that they are the exact same song, just with a different vocal melody line on top.
Today is going to be the day that Chessie's going to listen to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you got to do. I don't believe that mountain lion really respects you, you orange clown. You should tweet, yes I am the sheep, when you unlock your iPhone 4. I'm sure that Model T Ford was your answer at the Apple Store. I don't believe that any canine looks at you and thinks, alpha male. And all the dogs you've buried are still watching. And all the dogs in Washington are joking. There are many things that Chessie still would love to chew, you orange clown. Because Tony Tinker Tink is full of bonies. I know you're bald, but you should bite your dog.
Playing bocce ball, I'm not sure why. Something that I learned from some old guy. I heard he learned it in Thermopylae. When he was a kid in ancient times, no iPhones and barely fire, threw some round rocks and called it bocce. I learned to play it, I guess it's fine. My family hates it, my daughters whine. The kids say that it makes them bored. I said, listen up, kids, it's as cool as candy corn. All the littles right here, right now, you wanna play bocce? Yeah, yeah. All the littles right here, right now.
All right, so maybe not as good as Wonderwall, but I think you can see why that was a hit. Pretty good song, but the exact same chords. So then I think others started to take note of this. Fran Healy of Travis, there's a quote here. He did a song called Writing to Reach You that came out about 2 years after that song. And it actually has a line in it about Wonderwall because it's a nod to you know, recognizing, hey, we stole these chords. And so they interviewed Fran, like, hey, why did you write a song using the same chords as Wonderwall? And he said, as I was writing, I realized they were actually the chords of Wonderwall, and I was like, damn. And I thought, you know, Noel's always talking about nicking chords from people, so I figured I'll just use the chords, and it's acceptable, and I doff my cap to the writer. So just blatantly admitted it, like, yeah, Noel steals all the time, so I figured, why not steal from him? What's he going to do, sue me? And then there's another song that came out shortly after that from Green Day called Boulevard of Broken Dreams, and that's also clearly the exact same chord progression. Noel Gallagher in an interview said, you know, they should at least should have had the decency to wait until I'm dead. He says, I at least pay the people I steal from, because Noel gets sued so many times, he often gives a co-writing credit to whoever wrote the original song. But I've not been able to find any interviews with Billy Joe Armstrong. I think that's the lead singer and writer of Green Day, about the genesis of that song or whether it was inspired by Wonderwall or whatever. Now, I mean, you'll find examples in pop music, obviously, because these songs are so damn simple of the same chord progressions and, you know, blues progressions and all this stuff. That's one thing. But this, I think, the second capo and the way it's played, I mean, it really is the same thing. So here are a parody of Writing to Reach You and Boulevard of Broken Dreams that I put together just in honor of this occasion. Like, we should have parodies about this. I did this a little while ago, so hope you enjoy it.
Every day I listen to a podcast. It's got news and stories from the very distant past. TK goes on and on about all the usual. And what's a Oort cloud anyway? Now he's looking for some good swag to take from the mailbag. Now Tony, I beseech you, though this song might never reach you, all this begging is beneath you. It's not you, that's not true, but it should be true, you're so rich, dude. I walk these empty halls, in the corner there's a pile of swag, couple cheap golf balls, and a dusty cobweb telephone. So no one ever dialed tone. No, there's no dial. I called in once to talk to Andy Poley. I thought that tone might answer on a Thursday. I memorized 301, 230, 980. Still there's no dial tone.
All right, we're at the 9-minute mark of this focus. I think we could probably get about 90 minutes out of it. So hang with me. We'll just keep going. I promise you it's almost over. I did want to tell a quick story though. This is, I guess, a Wilbonian thing here because I'm sort of bragging, but not really. I just think it's such an awesome little circular reference. I just wanted to share this. And I may have told the story before, so forgive me if I have. Hopefully my memory serves me and I get the details right. But we did Little Songs Live at Jam and Java the last few years. And the thing that really convinced me to do that was going to see Mark Bryan with Steve Lipton and that there. I really enjoyed myself there. I thought it was a perfect venue for it. But I had been introduced to Jam and Java years prior when Fran Healy, the lead singer of Travis that we just mentioned earlier, went on an acoustic tour of a bunch of small venues. And it was one of the most amazing shows I've ever seen. And a real highlight for me was at the end of the show, I was sitting in like the third row. I called out for them to play one of their rare B-sides, The Connection. And Fran thought about it, said, oh yeah, that's a great suggestion. We haven't played that in years. I should definitely do it. And he started trying to play it and he wasn't quite getting it right. So he quickly Googled the chords and then, you know, found a little tab online. He had a little laptop in front of him, found that. And then I said, oh yes, this is all coming back to me now. And then they played it. Now, that was, I don't know, got to be almost 10 years ago now. Maybe 6 months ago, a year ago, I sat down and I thought, I want to play The Connection. I always love that Travis song. It's a beautiful song. I wonder what the chords are for that. And so I Googled it. And when I did, I remembered, like, there was only one transcription online of The Connection. And it was, and let me just see if I do this search right now, if this actually still works. I'm going to do this in real time here to see if my story is true or not. So Travis, The Connection chords. Here we go. At ultimateguitar.com, tabbed by Jerry at AW Press. This is my old email address. And here you go. The only tab online is one that I put together back in maybe 2000 or 2001. So not only did I request that Fran play that song at the show, he actually used my old tab that I did like 20 years ago to play it. Like, how amazing is that? And just the most random coincidence that would be a thing. I mean, I wish that I'd realized that's what was happening. I would have just said, hey, I'll come on the stage and play it for you. but anyway, just such a cool little coincidence there, and I just wanted to share that story while we're talking about Travis, because honestly, how often am I talking about Travis on this podcast? Probably not that much. I'm not going to get a lot of opportunities to tell that story. So last thing to close out this bit I mentioned earlier that Noel said he could get six hit songs out of those chords from Wonderwall. He did do a third. So here is my parody of that third song, which is like the worst titled original song, If I Had a Gun. But it is the exact same freaking thing. And it was one of his first singles as a solo artist, like just keeping it going. So, I mean, now he's kind of gone off the deep end, is playing just weird ass dance music. So it probably ends at three. I mean, unless he comes to his senses and comes back and plays, you know, melodies again. But this is a parody of If I Had a Gun.
If I had a son, I'd put him on my show for fun, and everyone would nod and say how great. If I sold undies, I'd make him squirm and do the reeds, and everyone would nod and say how great. Excuse me if he talks a lot, but that's the only way he'll get that golfing job and work with Sansi. It's all a dad could ever want. I'm holding on and waiting for the moment that he leaves me.
Enjoying the show? You have terrible taste.
And we have that in common. Thank you for listening. I'm glad you're still here this far into the show. So this past week on Tony's show, he read an ad for Simply Safe. And one of my favorite things to do with this podcast has been to mock the ad reads and the sponsors for some of the terrible copywriting. And, you know, like the two guys buying a razor factory or whatever else. Just so dumb. But the Simply Safe one, this is amazing. I just don't understand what it possibly could mean. So the exact quote that they had him read from the copy is 83% of burglars admit they specifically look to see if there's an alarm before they break into a house. So who is polling these burglars? How are they compiling this data? Is this folks that they capture? And then when they're in jail, say, hey, you know, before you broke into the house, did you look for an alarm system? Or are these like anonymous post-burglar exit surveys, like on their way out of the house? Like, hey, would you mind answering a few questions? Take 5 minutes. Or like they send them an email follow-up. Hey, thanks for robbing me. What'd you think of the house? And like they ask, you know, did you look for an alarm system? Should I leave, have different food in the fridge next time? The whole concept that they would be able to pull this with any kind of accuracy is just so stupid. And then next, even if they could, even if there was a way to send an email to every burglar that burglarized you. Sorry, I'm having a hard time with that word. Every burglar who burglarized you, why would you trust them? I mean, these are criminals. These are people that do bad things. They are breaking the law. They are lying. And then just that idea that this data would even be meaningful is pretty dumb. And then as Tony pointed out, so 83% say they look for an alarm system. Who are these other 17? Are these like the super elite burglars where an alarm just doesn't matter and they can just break in and bypass anything? Or are these just so stupid that these are the 17% who are caught, and maybe they derive the statistics that way? Like, oh, we caught these 17 idiots and they didn't look for an alarm. So we'll just assume of the other 83 burglaries this month that those guys did and they were able to get around it. Just doesn't make any sense. And then this idea that only some burglars look for an alarm. I don't think it takes any effort to look for an alarm. You don't have to specifically look for one. I imagine that the checklist for robbing a house is like, all right, is this window open? No? Okay. Is it locked? No? Okay. Well, I guess I can open it. Are there any alarm sensors? Oh, there are alarm sensors. Ah, yeah, maybe I should go around and open a different window or something. It just, that's it. I mean, I just wanted to rant on that a little bit. I find it so funny. I should have had a Simply Safe ad read this week. Maybe we can work one into next week's special episode. But I did come up with a song, very brief song. And this is actually sort of calling back to that previous segment there about Travis and a song that you probably have never heard called The Connection. I mentioned that I know the chords to that song. So here we have a parody of the Simply Safe story set to the tune of The Connection.
I left my house for a while
And then you broke inside and your burglary was justified. Because I realized that my house has no protection. I'm sure you noticed the windows. Now would you answer a few questions before you go?
So we've come to the end. Now's the end of the show. I'd like to remind you that I would love your feedback, ChineseHoot@tkjingles.com, or especially on the iTunes with one of those reviews. I also just want to know, how are the levels? How's everything sounding? I'm using a brand new program for this iteration of the podcast, and it's supposed to remove a lot of my balancing between the way that Joe's tracks are mixed and mine are mixed and KJ's are mixed and Brad's are mixed. Some folks are really loud, some are really quiet. This is supposed to automatically fix all that. I don't know if it is, but you tell me, you're listening. Does it sound okay? Does my voice sound okay? You know, how's it going? Also, if you'd like to support this, you know all the ways to do that. But go to littlesongs.net. The best thing you do to support all the parody songs, other than buying stuff or whatever to making this happen, is going there and leaving a comment, telling folks that you still like this, you want them to keep making it. I can't tell you how encouraging it is to get that kind of feedback. When Living with Sciatica aired on Tony's show, well, I felt a pang of guilt that, you know, it was basically just a cheesy ripoff of an old Weird Al song. I mean, I made it my own, and I really just did it because I wanted to sing that chorus. I thought it was such a funny chorus. But I got such an outpouring of support from random littles that don't usually send me feedback. And so the fact that just to know, oh, somebody's listening to this, even though, you know, they listen here, they would have heard that song three times. Whatever. They listen to it on Tony's show. That's obviously the main program that everybody listens to. I'm glad they could get to it. So if, you know, that kind of thing, that feeling that I felt, I want to share that with everybody else that writes these songs. So please go to the website, check out some tracks by somebody besides me. Leave a note what you think. Just let them know, hey, keep this up. This is awesome. And until next week, when we're going to have a very special episode, and I'll just give you a little bit of a tease preview of what that's going to be right here.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
That's right. Next week on Derivative, the shadow rides again in a very special episode entitled The Geyser of Death. I'm really excited to share this with you. I laugh at my own jokes, so I think this is freaking hilarious. But I hope you agree with me. So we may have some music next week too, but the main content, it's going to take me a lot of time, so I really have to focus on this, is going to be the sequel to the much beloved and much maligned The Shadow Murder at the Schwitz episode. You can find that on my YouTube channel if you've never heard it before. But it's a 1930s radio serial parody of The Shadow, and it's going to be set in a special location in Northwest DC where there's a bit of a water problem. So tune in next week to check that out. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Thanks for listening.
Standing on the shoulders of giants.